Today's Old Testament reading for the Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah, and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour. Knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works with me. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon was the gospel lesson that was just read. And I'm going to talk about what worship is and why silence is sometimes important as well. It's because silence is important in true worship. God has spoken through a burning bush, a rushing wind, an earthquake, and even in a still, quiet voice. Now, we have a society that's plugged in, basically. We're hooked on our internet, our radio, maybe not as much as in the past, TV, cell phones. Hey, have you ever been to a restaurant and there's a couple sitting there and they're both on their phones? I'm sorry, I'd rather look at my beautiful wife rather than look at my cell phone and catch up on my emails. But that's me. Some people are so addicted to their phones, they can't put it down for dinner. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. but it doesn't allow us to be silent to hear God. Excuse me. Noise or being constantly busy leads us to a spiritual depletion. If we want to find our sanity, we got to give Him time in silence. Chinese proverb, a flower vase, because it is empty, is ready to be filled. Now, isn't silence considered just sitting there and meditating on something considered a waste of time? Just sitting there doing nothing in silence, waste of time. Sure, a lot of people see it as a waste of time, but yet you sleep. Sleep's a valuable thing the body does. Sleep allows our body to regenerate itself, and it takes care of the stresses of the day. You notice you go to bed with something stressful on your mind, and you wake up, and suddenly you have a clearer understanding how to take care of it. That's the advantage of sleep. So there's an advantage to silence. We find God like looking at our reflection in a pool. You stir up the pool, and it's harder to see the reflection. We need to be silent, in other words, to hear God. Little bits of noise drowns out His voice. That's what Jesus is basically telling Martha in today's text. Because Mary was truly worshiping the Lord. Now, what is worship? Is it just singing songs on a Sunday? Singing the old songs, the new songs, or the in-between ones, the ones that repeat themselves? What is worship? Or is it feel-good type of music? Worship is about our relationship with God. Worship is not done for our benefit, and it's not done for the benefit of others. Worship is about one person, just one, and that's God Almighty. And by the way, worship is not done on Sunday mornings only. Worship is a way of life, so it's done 24/7. We learn today from Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, who is not in today's text, about God's attitude towards worship. Martha's busy in the kitchen because the master has stopped by. And I can just imagine all the things she was muttering in the kitchen. Finally, in our text, it says she goes to Jesus, basically hoping Jesus is going to scold Mary and get her into the kitchen to do something. Now, are we ever like Martha? Do you ever wonder why it's always our responsibility to do a certain job around the house, and we sort of resent that? We all can be like a Martha. Notice, Jesus does not condemn Martha's work. He's critical of her criticizing Mary and her true worship of the Master. Martha didn't realize that her trying to serve Jesus was in fact ignoring Jesus. If we spend all of our time doing something for Jesus, then we don't have the time to know Jesus. An example would be come to church and spend the entire time in the fellowship hall getting ready for the pitch-in after church. Now, you've come to church, but have you come to worship? No, you came to do work for the Lord, but you didn't spend time to know who the Lord is. And I'm not being critical of any one person or a group of persons or anything else. Well, that was a commentary on something. All right. What we know of Mary and Martha is they had a deep love for the Lord. By the way, the word worship means to kiss. If you haven't kissed Jesus during the worship service, you haven't truly worshiped. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. So if our worship isn't sincere, it's as bad as Judas's kiss. Paul urges us in one of his epistles to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. What he's talking about is when we lay down our lives and worship to God, we are transformed to what He wants us to be. Because He gave His Son for us, we should give ourselves to Him. I would like to read from Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 26. And the crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer had commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. It's a powerful story on how powerful worship is. Paul and Silas were telling people about Jesus, and they got him arrested. Now, first they get stripped and then beaten, and it says severely beaten, and then thrown in the prison, in the inner prison. Prisons at this time were not country clubs. They were cold stone buildings with no heat. So if this was a cold time of the year, Paul and Silas, sitting there buck naked, chained to the wall, were freezing cold. Me? I'd be terrified at this point. I hoped, though, I would have the faith of Paul and Silas. But what do Paul and Silas do? They sing praises to the Lord. When we're in a bad situation, do we take the time to praise the Lord for all he's done for us? Or are we just pleading, Lord, stop this, or Lord, do this? Jesus says we should give thanks when persecuted. You ever have that down feeling where you feel God's 1,000 miles away? Well, when you do, start praising God for his love and goodness. Read the Psalms. The Psalms are the Old Testament hymnal book. That's what the Jews of the Old Testament, and even up till today, use in their worship services in the place of what we have for hymns. So read the Psalms. God recognized Paul and Silas's worship and freed them. Now, people find themselves chained to all sorts of things today. Chained to addictions, chained to bad habits, chained to sin, chained just to circumstances of life, or chained to depression. But God has the power to break these chains. This in and of itself could be an entire sermon, but I don't think we'll do it today. I'll save it for another time. Unless you really want me to start talking for another hour, maybe. Even I don't want that. I think I told you this story. I'm off on tangent again. My grandfather had an expression that I remember quite well before I went into the ministry. He said, a sermon should not last longer than the tailbone can endure. Very, very true. Worship, back to our topic. Worship is not about just singing of songs. It's about opening up ourselves to God, laying ourselves before him like the woman who came and anointed him with precious oil days before he suffered and died. Worship is spending time with Jesus, getting to know him and expressing our love to him, to be like Mary, to listen to what he has to say. It's not for the benefit of others, and it's not for the benefit of ourselves, because it is God serving us in a worship service. He shares who he is. He shares what he's done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So the center of worship isn't us or our presence or anything else. It's about giving praise and honor to God. It's worship is the place where God meets us. So let us approach God as we worship every day. Let us lay our lives before him and adore him and open ourselves up to the Master. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.